Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Battlefield. There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 23 October 2023. Believe it or not, only 1 week left, full week in a month in October. How fast this year has gone by. I'm glad you're with us tonight, and I do mean that, and I sincerely mean that. Bless your hearts. You folks, some of y'all listen every night, and I don't know how you put up with me every night. Even my wife, Marsh Jean, can't do hardly do that. But anyway, I appreciate y'all doing that. I truly do. Before we get started with our guest tonight, don't forget our special for the month, folks. It's going to be going off next Tuesday. It'll be the last night of it. We're going to offer this. The three books and the article is Christmas Christian, Church and Civil Government, Warning 1965. And, folks, that's a terrific little booklet. And a 30-page article on the lies behind the so-called Civil War. All those for $25. Now, I promise you, folks, we're not making anything on that. We're probably going in the hole. But I think this time of year, and our guest tonight, we talked about the Christmas pagan holiday. But this time of year, you need to know these things about pagan holidays. And Christmas is a pagan holiday. You need to know about what we owe God and what we owe man. That's what the book's all about. And the Warning in 1965 talked about things that were revealed that many years ago that's come to pass today. And the lie we've been fed by the civil government, the Civil War, and Lincoln. All those available for $25. And a prayer request tonight for Tammy. She has lung cancer. I don't know if I hear anything back. You know, our brother Daryl Eberhard said, you mentioned prayer, but no, you never tell us what happens. Very few ever call me back and tell me what happens. That's why. But Tammy needs your prayers for lung cancer. And I ask y'all to please pray for that, okay? I mean, that's the Lord to heal her and be glorified in it. And some of y'all may not know this, but Dr. Tom Horn passed away yesterday. A couple of days ago, actually. And his son and the Skywatch Television wanted to say thank you all for praying and caring. But Dr. Tom Horn passed away, went on to be the father. And I know it's sad for us, but it's a glad day for him, all right? And what's on my mind, too, Crystal will be here Thursday. I wanted to say this the next three nights so you know what's going on. Crystal will be here Thursday, but I won't be. With your permission, I'm going to go get some venison. I want to go get some deer meat in the freezer. I went hunting at all this year, hardly at all, and I've always enjoyed it. So me and a friend that's just a couple years older than me, you're older than me, can barely get through the woods, but we're going to try to kill some deer Thursday. So please forgive me. I hope it don't upset anybody. But if it does, I'm sorry about that. I'm going to take a day off and go to the woods. The weather right now is beautiful here in the hills. It's in the 70s. And it's just gorgeous. So we're going to try to take off Thursday. So you know that in advance. Crystal will be here, though. Take care of everything you need. I'm really not needed around here most time. Just ask her. But now let's get to our guest tonight. Our guest tonight, we had one a few weeks ago, Tim Keyes. We discussed a pagan holiday of Christmas. That's going to be a topic tonight. And folks, I know one of the hardest things, I know, because I had to go through it. It took me 4 years to totally come clean of the Christmas pagan holiday. Because it was hard. It had been my custom for 60 years or longer, much longer. And it's a good time with family and friends, and we all enjoyed it, and it's giving and getting. And I had no idea of paganism about it. I had no idea about the Christmas trees, and it's written in Jeremiah about the Christmas tree. And it's evil. And all these things are there, but that's not topic tonight. But I want to tell you, it's hard to break old habits. It's hard to break old customs when your friends and family think you're nuts anyway. But it has to be done. And one I think should be much easier, although we've all been wrapped up in it most of our lives, is All Hallowed'en. Now, believe it or not, folks, this started out kind of as a religious day. We'll discuss it in a minute or two. And it's paganism, pure evil, demonic paganism. It's a night of praising the dead and making fun of witches and goblins and ghosts and all kinds of different things. Not making fun necessarily, but giving them a path into our hearts, our minds, and our society. And I do remember as a young boy, on Halloween night, people would soak witness. I did it myself. They would do things to neighbors that they shouldn't do. And normally they were just decent people. But on Halloween, they would do things to trick people and do things that really were not nice things. And what we did was minor to compare to what really happens all across the world, especially in America, on the night of Halloween. I guess I'd like to say it's Tim Keyes. And Tim, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
It is good to have you, my friend. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show again. Really excited about being on the show tonight. Looking forward to having some fun with you and your listeners.
Well, I said before, I'm really blessed to have the group listening to this broadcast because they're hungry for truth. They want to hear the truth. Now, for the new callers that didn't hear you last time, give us a quick bio of who Tim Keyes is.
Absolutely. Well, my name is Tim Keyes, and the name of my ministry is God Save the King. So if you're interested in checking out my website, that is www.godsavetheking.org. You can also check out my YouTube channel of the same name, God Save the King. And then I also have a radio show on the Truth Be Told radio network every Friday night at 10 p.m. And I'm a Bible scholar, and I'm very knowledgeable in a wide variety of biblical subjects, but my area of specialty is the Nativity. And I love teaching about the Nativity and about the fact that Jesus was not actually born on December 25th, and that when we change that one misconception, it starts a domino effect, that when we correct that one misconception and we discover the day he really was born, it starts to change the story. And one misconception being corrected leads to another misconception being revealed. And then if we correct that one, like I said, it starts this domino effect. And what I have discovered over about 40 years of research is that the traditional Nativity story that we're used to hearing, while it may be true in the very broad strokes, there's actually a lot of holes in it, and that the story, the Nativity story, is actually quite different and, frankly, in my opinion, way more exciting when you know the truth. Amen. About when Jesus was born and Amen. What the Nativity would have looked like.
Well, now, tell the folks about, I mean, who are you, what do you do, and how did you get started with all this?
Well, I got started with this when I was in Bible college about 35, 40 years ago. I was in Bible college, and someone just challenged me and said, hey, did you know that Jesus wasn't born on December 25th? And thankfully, at the time, that wasn't – some people, that's a real shock. To me, it was only kind of a minor shock. I was like, really? Where did you get that from? How did you figure that out? And they turned me on to a couple of really excellent books that I read, and then I just grabbed onto it after that because I'm also an historian. and I love ancient history. And what I also try to do is I put the nativity story in its historical background. And that is a big part of why not only correcting the date and getting the right day and time when he was born, but putting in its political, geopolitical, historical background also really changes what we assume we know about the Nativity, and it makes this amazing story. So I went on to get my master's in biblical theology after going to getting a bachelor's degree, and this is what I've been studying. Like I said, I can teach a variety of subjects, but this has been my area of specialty for 35 years.
All right. I say the qualifications, folks, are all there. Now, we discussed the pagan holiday of Christmas last time. That's why I'm offering a little book as Christmas Christian. If you want the truth, call and get it. If you don't, then go ahead and pretend like you never heard anything about it. You know, but I will say this. Once you've been told the truth and you disobey it, you're accountable for it. Ignorance is one thing. Willful disobedience is a whole different ballgame. Just you keep that in mind. We're going to discuss something that's coming up next week. We're going to discuss Halloween. Something that I grew up doing, look forward to. Got free candy, man. Get dressed up like a, put a mask on, walk around the community and trick-or-treat and get free candy and sometimes soap somebody's window and, I don't know, just things that we just did. And what we did, like I said, was so minor compared to what it is today. But nonetheless, it was still glorifying a God besides our Father God. And that's the truth. Would you mind telling us, Tim, please, how this Halloween got started?
Sure, I'll be happy to. And as a matter of fact, let me kind of rabbit trail off of that just for a second. We'll get into the history of where Halloween came from. But for the benefit of your listeners, let me throw a little bit of trivia out there that people might not be aware of with regard to just how much paganism permeates our society, because as you have already noted, Christmas is really a pagan holiday. It's actually not a Christian holiday. And as we have stressed several times already, you know, I really love teaching about the truth about the Nativity. And Jesus was actually born in the fall, not in the winter. But a lot of people may not be aware. Did you know, Pastor, that every day of the week is named after a pagan god?
Yes, I do. And so are the months.
Yep, and so are the months, or most of the months. Not all of the months, but most of the months are named after pagan gods. So, and then Christmas is actually a pagan holiday. Easter is actually a pagan holiday.
Yes,
now, those of us that are followers of Jesus Christ, we correctly call it Resurrection Sunday as opposed to Easter, but Ishtar is the Babylonian goddess of fertility, and all of that is wrapped up in the Feast of Easter as well.
That's very true, and Christ was not born on Sunday morning. But anyway, you go
ahead. He was not raised on Sunday morning. Yep.
He was not. I mean, not born.
He was not
raised
on Sunday morning.
Yes.
That's correct. Yep.
Go ahead.
Yep, and Valentine's Day, birthday cakes, all that kind of stuff, is they're all pagan. But when it comes to Halloween, here's a couple little facts for your listeners. It is now a $10 billion a year enterprise in the United States, not worldwide, the United States. $10 billion a year is spent on Halloween. And that's because it's predominantly an American holiday. It's not practiced around the world anywhere near like it is here. There is one other country where it's practiced extensively, and we'll mention that in just a second, but it's primarily an American holiday. 50% of American households will decorate for Halloween, and when it comes to the party industry, if you're in the party industry, the number one party every year is Super Bowl parties. Number two is New Year's Eve, and then number three is Halloween.
Wow.
So that is how big commercially that Halloween has become. But the origins of Halloween, it all goes back to an ancient pagan holiday called Samhain. Now, your listeners may not be familiar with this. If you see it in print, it can be a little bit confusing because it's spelled S-A-M-H-A-I-N. Let me spell that again. S-A-M-H-A-I-N. But it's Gaelic. It's the Irish language, Gaelic. So it's not pronounced Samhain. It's pronounced Samhain is how it's pronounced. So it's a little bit confusing. It looks like you should say Samhain, but in Gaelic it's pronounced Samhain. And this is the ancient holiday that now has the modern manifestation that we call Halloween. And it goes back at least a couple of thousand years. Interestingly enough, it was practiced primarily in ancient Ireland and ancient Britain. And the reason we know about it, however, is because of the ancient Romans. Because the ancient Irish and the ancient Britons, they didn't engage in a lot of like strict record keeping, but the Romans did. So ironically, when the Romans were spreading their empire, Julius Caesar wrote about the practices of the Gauls and the Celts in northern France and in Britain and in Ireland, and he mentions the holiday of Samhain. So we know about it primarily from the ancient Romans. And what it was is it was a holiday that commemorated the end of summer. It is debated. Some people think it may have actually been their new year, that it was the end of the year and therefore the beginning of the new year. But it was an extremely important holiday in their culture at that time. And ironically, however, as we are well aware, it was also actually, unfortunately, one of the most sinister times of the year, because it was the time of year when they would communicate or even commune, so to speak, with the dead. That was the purpose of Samhain, was they believed that this was the time of year when the threshold between this world and the other world was at its thinnest, for lack of a better word, and therefore it was easier for the dead to pass out of the other world into this world, and then what people would do is they would seek to communicate with their dead relatives at this time of year.
Wow, and this started then, why was it started? Was it at one time considered a holy day? Why was it started?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So in ancient Ireland and Britain, it was a holiday. It was a religious holiday. It was also a civil holiday. It commemorated a wide variety of things. It commemorated the end of summer and then the harvest and the beginning of winter. Like I said, it was sometimes in some cultures it was considered the New Year's Day, the end of the year, and therefore the beginning of the new year. And then also, like I said, this was the time they worshipped Samhain. Samhain is the name of the holiday. Samhain is also the name of the Celtic god of the dead. So he was the one, the Celtic god Samhain. Samhain held judgment over the dead, over those who had died within the past year. So each year, see, they would celebrate this in light of the belief that Samhain determined the fate of those who had died in the past year. And this was also a culture that believed in reincarnation. So if a person died during the last year, and Samhain judged that this was a good person, then he would be reincarnated as a person again, as a human being again. But if a person died during the last year and Samhain judged that this was not a good person, that he was a bad or evil person, then he would be reincarnated as an animal, and that would be how he would live again in a reincarnated state, but it would be as an animal. So this was also an opportunity where they would intercede for the dead. They would see they would offer sacrifices to Samhain. They would engage in things like ritual bonfires and dances and things like that, all to appease the god Samhain in the hopes of influencing his decision about their dead relatives.
So this was really a pagan holy day, holiday, I guess you could say. And I assume that it still is today, is it not?
Yes, it is. Now, it's it went through an extended period of time when it either was not practiced or it was practiced, in secret. You know, it would not have been extraordinarily public. But in modern times, it has seen a revival. And frankly, you know, what we also need to talk about here in just a moment is how did it come to the United States, right? Because this is an ancient Celtic festival that really is almost exclusive to Ireland and Scotland and Britain from 2,000 years ago. So how the heck did it get to the United States? And how did it become what it is today? Because today it is observed not only by what we would call neo-pagans, people who consider them pagans, new pagans, neo-pagan, who embrace this holiday, but also it has become very popular in the religion called Wicca or Wiccans or witches, frankly. They have adopted Samhain as one of their predominant holidays as well.
Okay. The sinners, keep going. You're doing a good job.
Well, very good. Well, let's talk about what I mentioned just a moment ago. So how did it come to the United States? Well, actually, let me back up. Let me mention this real quick, because in the Middle Ages, during the Middle Ages, the Roman Catholics went through an extensive effort to try to what's the word I want to use here? Pastor, help me out here. What's the word I'm searching for here? Because they wanted to fight. They wanted to push back against Samhain. They didn't like Samhain. They knew it was pagan. They didn't believe it was the right thing. So they wanted to push back against it, and they wanted to, frankly, offer an alternative. So in the 800s, in the Middle Ages, the Roman Catholics invented a holiday that is now called All Saints Day. And this was a day that they would commemorate dead saints. Now, this is provocative because, all right, so you're pushing back against the practice of Samhain and communion with the dead, and this whole idea that the pagans could influence the judgment of the god of the dead and therefore the reincarnation of their dead relatives. So now the Roman Catholics said, well, let's invent a holiday where we commemorate dead saints. Well, that's not necessarily a whole lot different. And then when you plug in the Roman Catholic doctrine of purgatory, I'm sorry, and I'm not trying to offend Roman Catholics here. That's not my intention. But when you mix in the Roman Catholic doctrine of purgatory, which is literally praying for the dead who are in this holding cell called purgatory, and that if you pray for them or buy indulgences or things like that, you can reduce the time of your dead friends and relatives that they're spending in purgatory. So this is really provocative because they were trying to offer an alternative, but it doesn't really seem like much of an alternative.
Anytime you venerate a dead saint, whatever, anytime you venerate them in a way that you're almost worshiping them, that is blasphemy. That is idolatry. I mean, it happens in pagan nations all around
the world.
Absolutely agreed. They pray to their ancestors.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you're correct. There's ancestor worship all around the world, you know, praying to your dead ancestors. And this one is, it's one thing to even pray to your dead ancestors, but this takes it a step further in that they actually believed that the dead could pass into this world, you know, from the spirit world, or what they would call the other world, that the portal between the other world and this world was more open at this time of year, and therefore they would engage in these rituals so that they could quote unquote commune with their dead relatives. But this is, I mean, that's necromancy. That is,
yes, it is
consorting with the dead, and necromancy, according to the Old Testament, is not only was it forbidden, it carried the death penalty.
Yes, it did.
It was extremely serious. So the bottom line here is that, you know, Samhain, as the roots of Halloween, this is scary business. And not because we put on a scary mask and pretend to be a ghost or a goblin. This is scary business because the roots of this is rooted and grounded in literally attempting to commune with the dead, which biblically is absolutely forbidden and under the Old Testament carried the death penalty. So this is actually, you know, extremely serious. Very, very serious.
Go ahead, sir. I mean, there's so many things that we've accepted as being normal in this society. And Halloween got here by compromise, we'll say, with the Catholic Church. But it didn't stop the Catholic Church. It's now, in all the so-called denominations.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And see, what happened was, you have the ancient holiday itself. Then during the Middle Ages, you get this syncretism with the Roman Catholics. And then and then you had this little interesting thing called the Reformation. And, you know, in the Reformation, the reformers condemned All Saints Day and said we should not celebrate All Saints Day because we should not be trying to pray for the dead. We're not, because they said that's purgatory. That's not biblical. Purgatory is not biblical. And therefore, the reformers said, nope, we shouldn't do this. But the problem was, is not very long after that, the Catholics of England and the Catholics of Ireland, they just brought it right back full steam. And then when you had the founding of the United States of America with all of the Protestants and the Puritans that came here, initially, despite what Hollywood likes to say, right, despite what Hollywood tries to portray, Halloween was not extensively practiced in colonial America, and that's
By the way, neither is Christmas. But go ahead.
Correct. Yes, you are correct. As a matter of fact, Christmas was even illegal in certain parts of the United States briefly, not for very long, but it was illegal in certain parts of the United States, and because of the Puritan influence and their desire. I'll let you go there.
All right, hang on through the break, folks. After the break, take phone calls. This, I told you, it'd be very interesting. 844-769-2944. Once you hear this broadcast, you can never say I didn't know the truth, because you're hearing it now.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Nevada Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Nevada a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wildcrafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of Carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war.
Folks, we're back. Phone line open any minute now. If you want to call and go ahead and get on the line, 844-769-2944. And that theme song, by the way, applies to this just as much as it does homosexuality or any other reason. This is war. And we as a nation and we as a church have been suckered into doing things that dishonors our Father. It doesn't glorify him at all. And that's one of the reasons why the church has become so anemic, so weak, so powerless, so basically unconcerned to what's going on in this country. It's just a sad situation that we've allowed. I said we. I'm not throwing stones because I'm guilty also. But once you start seeing the truth and start backing out of it, you will see a difference in your spiritual walk with Christ. You'll sense a difference in the strength in your ability to stand for the truth. Because you learn when you don't compromise the first time, it gets easier the second time not to compromise. You get stronger with each time. As I said, it's like running an obstacle course. Every time you do it, you get better at it. Well, that's what it is to be a Christian. Casting off these demonic activities, and they're demonic. We're going to discuss in a minute what goes on Halloween, the holy night of the dead, so to speak. We're going to discuss it in a little bit, what goes on in this country. Now, you may never see, and you probably don't know it. You never see it. But it doesn't make it go away at all. Go ahead, Tim, go from where you want to go now.
Okay. Well, we were just to complete the thought that we were discussing before we went to break there. I was talking about the fact that, just a quick review, you had the ancient holiday itself, Samhain, the ancient holiday, And then during the Middle Ages, you had the syncretism of Samhain along with All Saints Day getting combined, and the whole concept of purgatory with the Roman Catholic Church and things like that. And then when the Europeans came across the Atlantic and colonized the United States, because of the dominant influence of the Protestants and the Puritans, Halloween and All Saints Day, were All Hallows Eve, was really not practiced all that much. It was practiced a little bit, but it was not this significant holiday, because the predominant religion in the United States was Protestantism and then Puritanism. But then beginning in the middle of the 19th century, in the 1850s, when you had the Irish potato famine that caused massive Irish immigration to the United States, it was Irish Catholics that brought Samhain to the United States. So by the time you got to the late 19th century, that was when Halloween started to take shape in North America, but predominantly in the United States. And then just over time, it just became more and more accepted, not only by Catholics, but by non-Catholics as well. And then, of course, over time, it started to get commercialized. And then when it started to make money, and then when it started to get grabbed onto by Hollywood, of course, then that's, of course, when it took root. And like I said, it is now a $10 billion a year business in the United States alone.
Well, now,
so that's
am
just
I
kind
right
of
in
a
saying
quick
that's,
overview.
Am I right in saying that's second only to Christmas for money spending?
I think that's probably correct. Yeah.
You know,
yep,
it's amazing to me.
That's probably correct.
The Christian day that we set up in this country, we call Thanksgiving. It was truly it was set aside as a Christian holy day before the nation to thank God for the blessings for America. That's almost ignored now. It's never spoken about. You turn on TV already, and for the last 2 months, they've been playing Christmas programs and all things about Christmas. And but never once do you hear about Thanksgiving and giving praise to God for a blessing. You don't hear that. You don't hear about families coming together and, you know, and going to grandma's house for Thanksgiving very often anymore. It's always for Christmas and what are you going to buy for a gift? And it's just all unknown. And, brother, that breaks my heart because Thanksgiving was given to us to take time to thank our Father for the blessings of this land. We haven't done that for a long time, have we?
Absolutely.
It's really sad.
I completely agree, Pastor. It is very sad.
So what goes on Halloween behind closed doors?
Well, there's an awful lot that goes on in the United States and around the world on Halloween these days, because as I indicated a little while ago, neo-paganism is on the rise, and also the Wiccan religion has adopted Samhain as one of their four dominant holidays of the year.
Now, I don't mean to interrupt you. I've got to ask one question. Are Wiccas not supposed to be the good witches?
Well, they see, it's a very mixed bag. It's a very, very mixed bag, because they will try to claim that, yeah, we're good witches. We revere nature and things like that. But that's ancient Samhain. Samhain,
yes,
the ancient holiday of Samhain, they revered nature as well. But the key component here is the necromancy, the attempt to commune with the dead, because that's what tips it over the edge. Is if you're trying to commune with the dead, you are, at least from a biblical point of view, you're on the dark side. There's just no redeeming that. I mean, you look at the whole incident with Saul and the Witch of Endor in the Old Testament, and you've got a pretty clear indication biblically about communing with the dead. It is
Amen.
Not acceptable. To the one true God. It's just not acceptable at all.
The White House has done that from Lincoln up to Reagan. A bunch of them have done that. That's what they've done that. They've really,
mm-hmm. Yep, unfortunately.
The religion
yep.
of the White House. And we wonder why mm-hmm. nations fall apart. Go ahead. Finish it by what goes on mm-hmm. behind closed doors.
Right. So there's an awful lot that goes on behind closed doors. And that even if they aren't engaging in the absolutely direct evil. There's the shadow practices, because all of the practices that we see in modern Halloween, they come from the ancient religion. So things like the bonfires. They used to have ritual bonfires, because the whole idea was, so let me explain a little bit more. So the idea was that, you know, the God of the Dead, Samhain, he would judge the people who had died in the past year. And if they were good, they would be reincarnated as a person. If they were bad, they'd be reincarnated as an animal. So the people would offer sacrifice to Samhain to try to influence his decision about dead relatives. And then also, this was the time of year, like I said, when the veil between the other world and the real world was at its thinnest. So they would actually try to, quote unquote, commune with their dead relatives. Well, in addition, the way the story goes is that during this time, evil spirits would play tricks on people trying to commune with their dead relatives. Now, we know what that means. It's actually not their dead relatives. It's just the evil spirits who are playing tricks on them and getting them to engage in, frankly, demonic activity, right? So right. As a result of these quote-unquote evil spirits playing tricks on people, trying to communicate with their dead relatives, the people would engage in burning these large bonfires. They would put on costumes and masks to try to frighten away the evil spirits or to fool them into thinking they're not who they are so that they could commune with their dead relatives. But this is where we get this notion of the fires and the masks and the costumes and things like that, the jack-o'-lantern, you know, carving a pumpkin, that's actually got a couple of different possibilities where that came from. One possibility is that it's a representation of a human skull with a candle inside it, which was used to light the meetings for witches. When witches would have a coven meeting, they would light that with a candle inside a human skull. So that's one possibility on the origin of a jack-o'-lantern. Another possibility on the origin of the jack-o'-lantern is that there's this legend about Irish Jack, and what Irish Jack did is that on Samhain, Irish Jack actually tricked the devil. He tricked the devil into climbing a tree, and then while the devil was up the tree, he carved a cross. This is how the story goes, right? He carved a cross into the tree so that the devil could not climb down, right? So in order for the devil to get down, he had to make a deal with Irish Jack. And Irish Jack told the devil, he said, well, I'll let you down if you promise that you never come for my soul, right? So the devil agrees, and Irish Jack lets the devil out of the tree, right? Now, the flip side of this is that Irish Jack was also the town drunk. So when Irish Jack died, as the story goes, he was not allowed into heaven because he was a drunk, right? And then when he tried to get into hell, the devil wouldn't allow him into hell either, because that was the deal that he made with the devil. The devil said, I'm never going to come for your soul. So Irish Jack gets all mad and he storms off, and the devil throws a live coal at him from the fires of hell. And Irish Jack just happens to be munching on a turnip at the time, and he catches the live coal inside the turnip and uses that as a lantern. So initially it was a turnip, and then over time it became a pumpkin. That's the story behind the jack-o'-lantern, but it's all these, this is the tragedy, is that all of these things are associated with Samhain, and they are associated with necromancy and an attempt to commune with the dead. So as innocent as they may seem, they are, you know, I mean, come on, you know, a little kid dressing up as a cowboy and getting a bite-sized Snickers bar from the neighbor, you know, no one's going to believe that that in and of itself is demonic. But you know, the jack-o'-lanterns and then decorating your house and your yard and the witches and the goblins. And it's, Pastor, how soon do you cross a threshold that you can't get back?
I agree.
You know, that's the question we all have to ask.
And the symbols, you know, that we, the symbols we have at all these pagan days, including the Easter Bunny and the egg and the Christmas tree and all that. I mean, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a phone call before we're out of time. Let's talk to Daryl in Pennsylvania. Daryl, come on in. Welcome.
Hi, Pastor Butch. It's a great subject that Tim's talking about. But before I mention a few things on the subject Tim's talking about, I'd like to just, for the Call to Decision Ministry listeners, let them know a couple quick things about the Middle East, and that is that the King of Jordan has come out and said that Jordan will attack Israel if they go into the Gaza Strip. Also, the president of Egypt, General Assisi, said that Egypt will also attack Israel if they go in, and of course, to Gaza. So this war is getting very expanded, and Hezbollah, of course, up in southern Lebanon, says that they're coming in big time, and Iran's their biggest backer. They're all going to attack Israel if they go with ground forces into the Gaza Strip. So that's just a quick update on the Middle East.
And by the way, China just moved some vessels, Navy vessels, into the Middle East. We're talking about warships into Middle East also. Wow. To back whoever gets involved with this. So, folks, this is adding up very quickly. It really is. Go ahead, Daryl.
Yeah, it's getting out of control. What Tim said about praying against Halloween, Halloween, All Saints Day, and that entire end of the month of October is a bunch of high holy days for Satanists. And in my, Pastor Doug Thornton has talked about this. There are a bunch of Wiccan, a lot of witches, covens near Pastor Doug Thornton's place in Texas. There are a bunch of witches, covens, right here in Pennsylvania, central Pennsylvania, where I'm at, just a little bit up the road. There's a large one. They're even up on the Internet. And I wanted to ask Tim, would you, Tim, say that Wicca is one of the fastest growing religions in the United States of America?
Pardon me, I swallowed wrong right as I was about to try to talk. Let me clear my throat real quick here. You know, is Wicca one of the fastest growing religions in North America? To be completely transparent, only because I have not checked the statistics, I can't say for certain, but I know why you're asking the question, because there is little question that the world is becoming more and more worldly every day. And the fact that more and more people they're just throwing off restraint entirely. And what goes on behind closed doors, and the idea that there are probably more people than ever literally embracing the dark side is, yes, probably, yes, tremendously on the rise. So I would, in a generic sense, I would absolutely have to agree.
Okay.
I haven't checked
my area has even had,
but in a generic sense,
called,
I would. Yeah.
My area has a school called All Saints School, and of course, my area is heavily, predominantly Roman Catholic, and they just super back all of the Halloween garbage that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's probably,
of course,
you know,
purgatory. You know, they pay to pay and pray their loved ones out of purgatory, which was one of the things that some of the reformers definitely went after. Is this worship, basically, of a lot of garbage customs and traditions that came across, like you said, with a lot of the Irish Roman Catholics that came across, and of course a lot of them settled in my area. So, Pastor Butch, thank you for having this man, Tim, on, and thank you for covering this subject, and thank you so much for Call to Decision. And please, everybody, support Call to Decision Ministry so that they Pastor Butch can keep bringing good guests on like this to talk about subjects like this. Please support Call to Decision Ministry and pray for them, please. And pray that Pastor Butch gets them a deer.
Thank you. I probably will. I usually do. Thank you. Appreciate that. And by the way, I'm thinking of it. There's a ski resort, probably about an hour and 15, 20 minutes north of me, called Snowshoe. And they get together and have prayers to the snow gods to bless them with snow for the season. And I mean, this is for real. Let's go to Mick in the Mexico. Mick, yep. Come on in.
Hi, Butch.
Yes, sir.
He shot one thing and got caught for the horse. Demon and devils are not the same thing. A devil is a human. Demon is what they are. Another thing, Sam Hain is Satan. That's his real name. No, it had much to it. I've done a study a lot longer for this boy if he was born.
Any comments on that, Tim?
Well, no, he's actually not wrong. See, in all of these demonic religions that give these names to their god of the dead, so whether you're talking about Samhain or whether you're talking about Al-Ila, at the end of the day, they're all the devil. It's really just that simple.
He called you a boy. That'll make you feel good. Thanks for the call, Mick. Appreciate it. That make me feel good. About calling me a boy again for sure. But anyway, lines open, folks. 844. Amen. 844-769-2944 if you want to call and talk to us. 844-769-2944. And by the way, tomorrow night we're going to have Jane McCanny on. You don't miss that one. But now, we see this, I mean, all over sports. I mean, look at the halftime shows during the Super Bowl, which I never watch, but I've seen some of the halftime. It's all demonic. It's literally demonic. I mean, they're literally conjuring up devils during the halftime during the sports in the Super Bowl, are they not?
Yes, sir. I agree.
Now, people don't understand, don't believe that, but they're actually conjuring up devils. And that's what they're doing, folks. They're worshiping Satan right in front of a million people all over the world on our TV sets, and you're sitting there watching it. You're watching them conjure up devils and demonic activity, if you will, to glorify Satan and maybe influence them with other people. It's hard. People don't believe this, Tim, but Satan can give an individual powers, can he not?
Yes, he can. Absolutely. The Bible is very clear about what the Bible calls lying signs and wonders. Absolutely.
That's right. Years and years ago, and I hadn't been on the radio, but a couple, 3 years, I interviewed a witch by the name of Elaine Nost, who had become a Christian. She said, I could literally pin a man against a wall and not touch him. Now, this is, and she went lying. She meant it. She meant it. So we're working against powers here, folks, that are far beyond our comprehension and far behind our capability to work against without the Holy Spirit. So don't go out there and take these on as the seven sons of Sceva did, and try to kick out a devil and get your butt whipped, okay? Make sure you're walking in Christ and his power, because you're fighting evil here. So what are some of the, you were going some things happening behind closed doors. I know you've been in this a lot further than I have, but how much child sacrifices or animal sacrifices or child trafficking and everything, what happens, what is the biggest thing during this so-called holy period for demonic worship?
Well, you hit the nail right on the head there, Pastor. The deep, dark secret of all this is that there is literally human sacrifice. And when there is human sacrifice, that necessitates human trafficking, because that's how they get their victims. See, in the ancient world, they could run down to the prison and scoop up the criminals, and use those as their sacrifices. They can't quite get away with that as openly these days, so that's why human trafficking is such an horrific crime all around the world, is not only because they sell people into slavery and servitude, but also a lot of them are used as victims for human sacrifice for people who follow this religion around the world.
Well, we're taking a phone call, but I want to ask you one more question. I've interviewed people who were used as objects of worship, children I'm talking about, who lived through it.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me literally they watched people, men, transfigure into beasts, into demonic beasts. Now, these people were not lying to mm-hmm. me. Do you think, is that happening too?
I have heard of that as well. I've never spoken with anybody directly, but I've read extensively reports from individuals who were, you know, in the Church of Satan in the United States who were either capable of doing that themselves or knew those who were, or also a very common version that I heard was that that the enemy uses evil beasts like werewolves as a form of discipline against their own church members. In other words, to help keep them in line, they've got these horrific beasts that can do damage to the priests and priestesses of the Satanic Church.
Wow. I'll share one more thing, then we'll get to a call. You probably heard of William Sneblin, right?
William Sneblin. I can't say that I have, actually.
Okay, well, he's written many books about satanic worship. He was an ex-witch himself, so he was involved in the, mm-hmm. in the witchcraft. He told my program one night he was in a Mormon church, down in the ground, I don't know how far down. They got on an elevator with the guy, mm-hmm. took him down there, and right in front of them, him and another friend, this so-called individual morphed into a lizard about 7 foot tall, lizard head. I mean, I'm making it up. This is what he told me. Mm-hmm. I don't think he was lying to me. But let's go to Don in Ohio. Don, come on in. Welcome.
Hey, God bless you, Pastor Paul. You're doing a great job. You know, I spent 30 years in a Catholic church, and then I started doing some research, and I was appalled at the necromancy that's practiced in the church, and a lot of people don't realize it. But during the Mass, the priest will genuflect, then he'll kiss the middle of the altar, and then, of course, he raises, you know, the host and that. But what he's kissing is buried in that altar. It's called the altar stone, and the Latin is sepulchrorum. And what that is the bones or the tissue or clothing of the patron saint of that church. Now, do you remember, and I believe it was 2 Kings, where Josiah wanted to defile the altar of the pagans,
right.
And he dug up the priests and he spread their bones
on the
altar?
By the way, don't be in a rush. We have 1 minute left. You got to hurry. Go ahead.
Okay, so basically the Catholic Church is starting with a pagan defiled mass with that altar, with that tissue in there.
You know, you call me back sometime in the office on some Thursday. I want to talk to you some more about this. This is interesting.
God bless you, buddy. You're doing a great job.
Call.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you. You call me back. Please call me back, okay? Wow. Interesting. My goodness, people. But anyway, we're about out of time. We're down about the last
minute. Yeah, I've forgotten about that. He's right. Yep.
So this is, folks, this is America today. Now, this has been going on in the Catholic Church for a long time before that. It has been. And I don't like to, I'm not picking on Catholics. I'm just telling the truth. All right, we love you, and I'll be back with you tomorrow night. And thank you so much, Tim, for the time. I'll be back in touch real soon, okay?
Thank you, sir.
God bless, my friend. Folks, we'll see you tomorrow night. Have a good night. Put your trust in Christ. Break off these habits. Let's glorify Him. Good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.